So this is chapter 3, which is Mania. What my experience of Mania was, and everybody's, I'd imagine, would have similar characteristics, but be a different trip, if you like. So it's hard to know exactly when I went manic, and when I had an elevated mood. But certainly, on the last night of the Vipassana course, I distinctly remember meditating, and I just felt, you sort of felt sometimes when you were meditating that a sort of a wave of energy or emotion or something would come through you, and what my understanding of this was that it was like a past memory being released or whatever. And for about an hour, or for the final hour, I just felt this was continuous, like it was just wave after wave after wave coming through me. And then I went back to my tent that night, for the last night, after the last meditation thing, and you know, I tried to go to sleep, and again this just kept on happening. And what I remember happening was that I felt, the only way to describe it is I felt like I was talking with God. I'm quite sure that I was just having a chat with my own consciousness, subconscious, or whatever it was, some consciousness. And it said, said, did I trust it? And it was the most, and I said yes, and I just relaxed my body. And that was the most loving feeling I think I've ever felt. It was like a complete, I just felt like this God or whatever it was that was asking me did I trust it was just a completely loving entity. And when I put my trust in it, it was just a complete submission. It was absolutely amazing. It was an incredible feeling. Anyway, so I thought that I was gonna, and I had some sort of a conversation, I can't really remember it now, but it was basically, you know, the, we'll call it God, even though it's not, but we'll call it God, just because it makes it easier, said, you know, things that they want, that were important for me to do, and sort of, you know, generally fixing the entire world's problems of climate change and other things that are sort of dear to my heart, I suppose, even though I'm surely not living my life the way I should be, but anyway, and yeah, so it said, did I trust it? I said yes, and I relaxed, and at some point after that, I suppose it's muscle memory of some description or whatever, but I basically did chiropractic or osteopathic maneuvers on myself in my tent, which was bizarre. And I even remember doing them and thinking as it was happening, this is bizarre. And basically my body was just, what it felt like was that I was healing myself, or that God was healing me, you know, especially my back, really, which is obviously, you know, has a profound effect on my life, I suppose. And yeah, so I mean, I'm sure if, for an outsider, I was probably just rolling around my tent looking weird, but from the inside, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling all these clicks and pops, and you know, I'm healing myself, and I'm gonna feel awesome by the end of this. Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. It was like just seeing your arms and legs move and feeling like it was completely involuntary, like outside of your control, and yet no one was forcing you to do it. That was really weird. Anyway. So I think, I mean, that's definitely when I moved into Mania, as far as I can tell anyway. Thoughts are just racing. I mean, that's classic Mania. You're thinking a million thoughts a second, and you just think you're, I don't know if Mania only happens to people who have a healthy ego, or an unhealthy ego, or sense of self-importance, or what, but, I certainly felt like, you know, I was way cleverer than you know, basically anyone else, and that in a not in, a, in an aggressive way, just in a, you know, this is it, and I'm here, and you know, I'm not Jesus, but I'm as close as, and you know, shit's gonna start. You know, we're gonna start doing stuff, and you know, it's gonna be great. I did try to talk to the teacher, because the teacher, I seem to remember that one of my missions was that the teacher was going to talk to Larry Page and Sergey Brin, the guys who run Google, and he was going to get them to do Vipassana, and then they were going to spread Vipassana around the world through their sort of Google monopoly, if you like. Not that they would call it monopoly, but the sort of the spread the Google, the Vipassana love through the Google love. Yes. Didn't quite turn out that way. But I was not allowed to talk to the teacher, and I was, and yeah, I mean, there was, I just don't feel I should have been allowed out of that place in that state. It just, it's not safe. It's really not safe. I then gave a $600 or $700 donation to Vipassana. I did get it back. I wrote them a letter and said, look, this happened to me, I want my money back, thanks very much. Wasn't in the right state, and they did refund it. So that was nice. If they hadn't, yeah, I think I probably would have, done some more vocal complaining. So yeah, it was a very Christian trip, I suppose, if we wanted to call it a trip. But yeah, I mean, my upbringing was certainly very, you know, Roman Catholic, and you know, a lot of this felt like magic. You know, it felt like miracles. I thought I could heal people with my thoughts, and that was an amazing feeling. I mean, you know, you just walk past people and you just, you know, effectively meditate on the fly, feel this energy, and just sort of like, you know, just, and you imagine that you're healing them of whatever it was. And it was absolutely marvelous. It was so much fun. And yeah, I remember shopping. A lot of the time when you're manic, a lot of people go shopping, you know, and buy stuff. So I was buying, I was sort of Christian, I suppose, in the way I was doing these. So I, you know, I went to the charity shop and I brought them back some clothes and some nice pajamas that I wish I had not given them, but anyway, and bought some clothes which I've still got today. I bought this wonderful flowery shirt that I still love, and it was great. The fun of shopping was great because you know, I would the way I would shop was I would sort of run my hand along an aisle. I remember doing this in the BP petrol station on the way back to Palmerston North after the course, and you know, I'd run my hand along the aisle, and I just sort of, something would just jump at me, and I would just buy it, you know, whatever it was. And I'm sure, I mean, it was stuff that I enjoyed anyway, I think, but you know, like fruit and fruit juices and water and things like that. And it was, and you know, and then when I was back in Palmerston North with my family for a while, I was buying, you know, cleaning products, and I would buy Dove. So, you know, white was a very good colour, and, you know, Dove, peace, you know, the Dove, and, you know, Jesus had a lot of doves going on, and it was, you know, all these sort of link stuff is interesting. And yeah, so shopping was, but I mean, and this is why I say they should have let me out. Like, for example, if I was manic, and I went into a, you know, let's say my bent was more, you know, TVs. I was into TVs, and I went into a big TV hi-fi place, and I bought, you know, 20 flat-screen televisions to give to all my friends, which is the sort of thing that could easily happen. Now, until you are like sectioned under the Mental Health Act, all of that is completely legal. Now, the guys in the shop shouldn't let you buy that stuff, but they're probably on commission, so who gives a shit? And if this mad person wants to do it, fine, let him. You know, morally, I think that's wrong, but they can do that. And yeah, so I mean, you know, you could, this is where it gets bad, is that people will rack up tens of thousands of dollars worth of debt, or, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of debt, and then when they come out of their manic and it goes into depression, as it often does afterwards,
It's a lot more serious. But anyway, we're still in mania. We're not into depression yet. So, yeah, thought I could help with my thoughts, shopping. So my cousin William, who's a very nice chappy, he, poor lad, probably bore the brunt of stuff, I suppose. William plays a game called Go, which is an ancient Chinese game, I think, where you have a sort of a flat grid, a flat board, and it's just a grid, and you place black stones or white stones on the intersections of the grid. And I was convinced that I could beat William at Go, which, I mean, he's played this a lot, he's way cleverer than I am. I'd never beat him at Go, but I absolutely believed that I could. But unfortunately for William, I was on a different planet at this stage. So for me, the board represented infinity. And I didn't want to break the equilibrium, the peace, if you like, because that's destructive. So I refused to play first. The other interesting thing is that in Chinese philosophy, black is a good colour and white is a bad colour, because white is the colour of bleached bones, and black is, I don't know, earth or something. But for me, when I was in my manic state, you know, being white was absolutely important, and being black, not in a racist way, but just in white was a colour I would identify with and want to be. And so I refused to play with the black stones, which is what etiquette would demand that I did. And there was a bit of a fight over that one, which we ended up compromising on, which was good. I did get to play with white, but I also had to go first. So the board represented infinity, and I'm only telling the story because it's sort of amusing. And I passed, so I refused to play first. And then William passed, and then I passed, and then William passed, and then I passed, and then William passed, and it was a draw. And he stormed out. Fair enough, too. Probably just didn't know how to handle someone in that state. And that was the best game of Go I will ever have against William, because I actually drew. I did manage to coax him back, and we did have a few games, but bit of a disaster, really. But I think I sort of incorporated Go into my trip, this manic trip, if you like. And so, you know, for example, I would look at the stars, and the stars would be like an infinite game of Go. Like, we're playing Go on this microscopic level, the powers that be, I suppose, you know, are playing Go, you know, with, you know, out there in the infinity. And not that any of this makes sense, but that was sort of where I was at. And things like, you know, just looking up and seeing the stars, and the fact that there is light out there, and that, you know, that lightning is faster than you know, light is faster than the darkness, and all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, and it was sort of a battle between good and evil, and I was like an instrument in that battle, and everything I did was bringing you know, things back into the right line, to the path of true love, or whatever you want to call it. And that was just that's why people get addicted to mania. That's why people don't want to, you know, take the drugs or whatever it is that will stop them having these feelings, because it's, understandably, it's absolutely amazing. But then you go into depression and it's absolutely shit. So it was a bit like that. I remember we had dinner at their friend's house, and Donna and John, I think, and they are wonderful, wonderful cooks. Anyway, so it probably would have been a delicious meal whether I was manic or not, but, you know, being manic and really tasting things, you know, feeling the texture of the food as you crunch it or squish it or whatever it, you know, it was stir fry, I think, so you got crunchy carrots and sort of squishy bits of tofu, and smelling it, and look, the colours jumped out at you. You know, you're just, everything is so vibrant and so alive. And yeah, I mean, it was. I'd always sit under the light. And you know, you're a very alive person. And I mean, you're not, because I was moving gradually into mania, so you're not completely bonkers straight off. I mean, you sort of move into it, and so you can have sort of fun and interesting conversations with people. And because you're just completely you've no inhibitions really. You can talk about whatever, and it's very interesting. So I'm just reading from my notes here. One of the more beautiful ideas was I was helping to put the universe back on the path to love, God, happiness, whatever, in a battle between good and evil, I suppose. But good had already won, because light was faster than dark. Even when you close your eyes, you can see a light. And the music that we have in and around us, even the beat of your feet against the pavement, all was part of that music, and the music was related to, you know, if you like, we listen to the stereo and we hear whatever sort of music it is. We want to listen to classical, pop, rock, whatever it is. But, you know, God listens to the music of life. So, you know, listens to everything in a way that we can't understand. So, listens to the sound of people talking, to the music, listens to our relationships, listens to all that sort of stuff. And me, when I was in that state, I was sort of like a conductor of in some way, of or maybe doing a lovely solo on the clarinet, or whatever it was, that was, you know, just putting things back the way they should. There was a couple of, I suppose you could call them unfortunate, it was kind of lovely, in a way. My Aunt Mary left a stone on my bed for when I came back, and it had written on it, Aroha, which means love in Maori. It's a beautiful word, and I really love it. Boom, boom. But anyway, so I came back from this course. I was in a completely manic state, moving into it, and then, you know, I saw the stone saying love on it. I was like, wow, I'm on the path of love. Awesome. Here we go. It's all happening. And I remember I left my passport up there, and I had this idea of, you know, I am who I am. I don't need a passport to say who I am. Luckily, I did have I'd also lost my driver's license earlier before I went up, so I had this replacement sort of thing that said I'd applied for a driver's license, but I didn't have one. No photo identification, but anyway, they let me on the plane. And I flew back down, holding the plane up with my thoughts, which was hard work, but we got there. I came back and I drove to the shops. Again, funny that you can do these things now, but, you know, I drove to the shops, again, you know, manic, but you can still do these things. And I bought some presents for my 82-year-old at that stage landlady, of bananas, honey, and some fruit drink, Charlie's fruit drink. Always threes. Three was a very important number, like the Trinity. So I bought three t-shirts, and I bought three necklacey things that I was going to give to my nieces, which I still have and really should send over, but there. Anyway, three was very important. I remember chasing ducks around the house, because ducks are evil. I should tell him, or even if I could tell him, but Eddie Izzard, English comedian, does do a wonderful sketch on evil ducks. You know, the Noah's flood, or the flood comes along and Noah gets in his ark, but, you know, what happened to all the evil ducks? I mean, they just swim away, and it's like, quack, quack, quack. So, I was chasing the ducks around, because, yeah, they were evil. And things got sort of progressively weirder from that point. So I basically had, I think, 3 days, 3 or 4 days, between leaving the Vipassana course and coming back down to Christchurch. And I was definitely getting more and more and more manic, to the point where I
I think at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was running around the house naked, except for a dressing gown, and I had a go at walking on water. Totally believed I could do it, couldn't do it. And it's all very funny, and it is funny, really, you know, running around naked, falling in water, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's quite funny. But, you know, what if I'd thought I could fly? Or what if the river outside the back of my garden hadn't been a, you know, very gentle trickle? Yeah. I mean, and that's why, I mean, there should have been a duty of care, and that shouldn't have happened. But anyway, it did. Yeah, I was, calling up to friends in the house that I live in, because it's a big house and there's lots of different apartments, and, you know, calling up, you know, to see if, I kind of think I rang on people's doorbells and they sort of called down saying, is everything okay? And just hearing that they were okay. So I was sort of, it wasn't paranoia, but there was definite sort of fear or, like, it wasn't entirely enjoyable, that trip. So that was a really disturbed night. And then I drove into work the next day. Still can't believe I did that, but anyway, drove into work. And, yeah, had some really odd conversations. I mean, I was really, really gone by this stage, really, and, you know, I'd be having conversations with three people, with two other people, because again, it was always threes, and I'd always try to stand in the light, and so I was sort of moving around and moving between people, and, you know, just, anyway, they correctly identified that I was, you know, basically needing to be taken to hospital, that I was not in my own, state, and, well, not that I have. This has still been quite a long story. It's been 22 minutes. Oh my gosh, already. But it's funny. I mean, 22 minutes. It might seem like long to you listening to this, but I mean, it certainly has had a vast impact on my life. But anyway, they correctly identified that they'd be taken out of the building, and. Long story short, because I really don't remember too much of that time. But I know that it took, I think, six policemen to restrain me in the car park in the work car park. Because you're very strong when you're manic. Very strong. You don't really feel pain. I wasn't aggressive, I don't believe or remember, but I certainly wasn't gonna come easily. Anyway, that was really the end of my sort of the fun manic, the mania where I was. Not incarcerated, I suppose, if that makes sense. Because what happened next was that, I came to in the police station actually, and that's yeah. So and not that I came to, I didn't realise. Oh my gosh, I went mad. I was still mad, I was then sectioned under the Mental Health Act, which is a vicious piece of legislation, good and bad, I suppose, but it basically means you have absolutely no rights at all, whatsoever. So that's going to be chapter 3, but I think this one will be the longest one, so if you manage to get through this one, well done. I hope, I have waffled, but hey, it's as much for me as it is for you. Okay.